did a Christmas series, and I got a couple minutes. I'm going to just kind of rehash it because I'm going to carry into today, which is how much, basically breaking down our need for Christmas. We need a Savior. We need God to become one of us to save us. We are incapable, still incapable, have always been incapable, will always be unable, incapable to save ourselves. There's nothing in you that can save you unless you have Jesus in you. Amen? The incarnation. God became flesh, became in the likeness of man to save us. We need great news, good news of great joy. We need that. We desperately need good news of great joy. We need to be like Jesus. We need to be givers. I love to give, and I love us to give. And it's not because of any other reason, but it makes us like God. And when we become like God, and we actually, you know, I don't want to use the phrase that's human-like, but when we really align ourselves and we tap into the God-likeness that we actually are, there's something that God created us that we discover to be like Him that starts to come out of us. And this is, you know, when we are giving like God, there's goodness that is there that you didn't may not have discovered that is there. And I don't know, that last week's message, and I know it came out of my lips, but it's still like burning in my heart as like, wow, that was really good. I really enjoyed it myself. And I'm still enjoying it because I'm learning to continuously give and be like Jesus. As Jesus gave, He is inspiring us to be like Him and give at every corner, wherever we go, be givers, because it's what God is like. God is a giver, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Always rings true, the Word of God. Amen? So we need something this morning. We need a new start. The new year is always a good time to talk about a new start. We need a new start. Can you imagine the hopelessness we would have if we weren't sure every day that the sun would come up and we'd have a new day tomorrow? There'd be hopelessness that would overwhelm us if it was a guess, a gamble, that tomorrow's another day. We need new days. We need a new start. We need a new year. God designed it this way. God designed us to never die, to replenish, to renew ourselves, to be renewed all the time. This whole mystery of death and our bodies dying is really a mystery. Science can't explain it because of what goes on inside of our bodies is this continuous restoration that happens all the time. He is about renewing, restoring, reviving all the time. That's how He created us and designed us to be. It's almost as though when you look at the Word of God and you say, well, wow, that's actually what He says. Let us make man in our image. That's, you know, when we look at that, that's true. We are made in the image of God to be renewed, to be new all the time. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions to get this going. From where does this new start come from? This is the direction I'm going to go this morning. I felt the Lord taking us. Where does the new start come from? I bet you'll have the right answer if you're willing and daring enough to speak it. The Lord is the right answer. But there's a deeper place, though. But where does the new start come from the Lord? If we really stop and just break it down to the very beginning, if you want to go back to the Big Bang, if you want to call it that, how did it happen? God, what? I didn't hear you. God spoke it, and it happened. So the new start comes from where? Okay, you're getting really, really close. I mean, as Jordan, we tell Jordan when we're looking for mouse, you're really hot. You're really hot. It comes from where? God's voice. The voice of God is where the new start comes from. Is that, well, yeah, God spoke and big bang, it happened. Yeah, bang, there it is. We believe that. We know that. The voice of God is where we get a new start. So I'm going to go with this all morning long. Let's talk about the voice of God and seeking and looking for and listening for the voice of God. Hebrews 12:25 just, I think, states it like as clear as you could possibly state it. He says this, and this is just the first part of the verse. He says, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking." Hear what he's saying there. This is an awesome little one-liner that is so true. See to it. Make everything, do everything in your capability, in your power, within your realm, that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And it's not even, I love how he says it, because in every translation, it says it the same way, and it's the simple word of is. The is he is. He not was, he not has, he is speaking. See to it that we do not refuse him who is speaking. So God is speaking. God's voice is in the air. And I know that sounds really weird, but God is speaking. Let's see to it that we don't refuse it. Hearing God's voice, I really believe, gets to the heart of what it means to be one of God's followers, one of God's own. Didn't Jesus say that it's the sheep that hear his voice? God made us for more than listening to him, but not for less. To help us get that point, I believe God even did something remarkable. And he gave us, he drilled within the sides of our head, two ears, two holes to be able to hear. And it's almost, isn't it interesting? It's the one sense that you really don't, all you have to do is you don't even have to, you don't have to put effort into it. You have to put effort into not listening as opposed to listening. Just think about that for a second. We call it, what do we call it? Selective hearing. Yes, in husbands and wives, I know you have it. I'm not going to say any more about that. I'm just going to move on. That was a good word that I heard in my ear. Move on. Even when we're hurting, even when we're weak, even when we're too weak to walk, even when we're too weak to reach up, to grab up, even when we're too tired to speak, even too tired to even read, God made us so we could hear. And I know, you know, we have family members in our fellowship that were born deaf, so they don't have the ability to hear with their hearing ears. But there's something in them that causes them to still be able to hear. They hear within an inner voice within them, an inner sound within them. It's remarkable to watch. You know, if you guys haven't ever had a conversation with Bear, it's amazing to be a part of a conversation. You can have a full-blown conversation speaking to him, and he's hearing you with another sense. And it's awesome to watch. So he, you know, we could say, well, what about somebody like him? Well, he still has to, you know, and his mother-in-law, his beautiful mother-in-law over there, she says, I think he sometimes has selective hearing. And I always stop and think, man, what a neat trick that he has. I like that thing. Like, he could just keep on going the direction and just, he doesn't have to pretend he didn't hear you. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. She's like, I know when he hears me. I know when he hears me, and he just keeps going on, huh? Yeah, yeah, you've been around him long enough to know. Yeah. Words travel into our heads and down into our hearts. Hearing is the most basic of human functions. Even in the womb, it's proven that we hear the voices of our parents. And typically, it's the last faculty to flee as the body shuts down at the time of death. God gave us ears, both physically and spiritually, that we might hear His voice. God designed us, created us, instilled within us the God DNA to hear His voice. Hear His voice. In the giving of the first covenant, His voice sounded from Sinai, that the people that heard the sound trembled in fear. They trembled in fear. In fact, now though, God, the living God, as Hebrew calls Him, that the living God in the book of Hebrews, speaks to us through His risen Son by the Holy Spirit and continues, is speaking. And I think this is so imperative to understand that verse in Hebrews that He says, see to it that we do not refuse Him who is speaking, continues to speak. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus. Listen to this. I want us to understand this. And I don't know if I had ever seen it so spiritual before. In Hebrews, he's talking about God speaking to us through a better word than the blood of Abel. He speaks to us through the blood of Jesus. Listen, I want us to go to this verse, and I want us to hear something that, like I said, I've read this many times, but I've never seen this so spiritual as I have before. In Genesis 4:10, is when God came to Cain, encountering Cain, confronting him, and the Lord said, "What have you done? What have you done?" And listen to what He says. This next phrase: "The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. I don't know why this hit me so hard and so, it's like so very real and so powerful, is that even God is so awesomely amazing, wonderfully, I can't even put words to all the adjectives that fits God, but God is so incredibly wow that He even listens to His creation. He listens to the dirt. He listens to the trees, the dirt. He listens to the dirt. Did you hear that? The voice is crying to me from the ground. God has not changed. God is still awesome, amazing, and wow. What does God hear then? He hears everything. And that's amazing to me. I don't know why that's so amazing to me. And it's also, it invokes awe, but it also invokes this place of like almost fear and even like wow and humility, that even if I wrong my wife in the inner corners of our room and if I mistreat her and if I call her a name or if I do something that hurts her, God hears that from the inner place of her very soul because He cares about her more than anything. That's the place of like, wow, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm humbled and even repentful of anything I've ever done to harm anybody at any given time. That ought to do that to you. Hello? Anybody else? It does that to me. It does that deep within my soul to say, wow, and this is a person that I love. What about somebody that a stranger walking by and I mistreat or harm them or do something that causes that person to actually be in a place where they're because the blood that speaks it's the blood of Abel that speaks. What is that blood of Abel that speaks to God? I'm going to get back to this. Let's go to this for a second. The blood of Abel that speaks to God through the ground is a blood of justice, justification. It's a blood of that which somebody was wronged and somebody must pay the price. It's a blood of justice. That's what Hebrews is referring to, is that the blood of Jesus speaks as a better blood than the blood of Abel. Because the blood of Jesus speaks to us as a blood that speaks what? Think about this. Think about this, though. Let's go there for a second. You guys ready to go for a little mind trip? Go to the place, if you will, in your mind, to the place where Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, was being beaten, where a crown of thorns was placed on his head and smushed down into his forehead, to where blood was dripping down, to where his back was shredded open so much so that they could see the innards, they could see the bones coming through. Blood was pouring out of him. Just for a moment. I know this is going to be a tough thing to do, but I want us to go there because I think to get to the powerful implication of it is that blood of the innocent lamb that was slain for you and I, was dripping into the earth, into the ground. The very ground that he spoke into existence was now receiving his blood. And God was hearing it. And God was hearing it. And he was hearing it as a plea. He was hearing it as that which was for you and I, for the forgiveness of our sins. And so that blood that spoke to God through the ground and still speaks to God through that ground is the blood that brings about our very forgiveness. Is the blood that actually causes life to be instilled within us, that causes God to look at that and hear that voice. And when you harm somebody, when you wrong somebody, that forgiveness of that blood supersedes the blood of Abel. Because God is still just, and the blood of Abel is about justification and a wrong for a wrong, or an eye for an eye. That's what that blood is about. But the blood of Jesus is about grace. The blood of Jesus is about mercy. The blood of Jesus speaks of forgiveness. The blood of Jesus speaks to the new covenant of restoration. God making new. Isn't that awesome? I don't know why I was taken there. I was taken there in such an amazing way that I was compelled to do something that I love to do. It is to go back to that first moment in my life when I heard the voice of God. Heard the voice of God. And the voice of God said, "Son." That's all he said was "son." And that's all I needed to hear was "son, you are mine. You are mine." And when I heard that voice speak that clearly, I became one of his. And then started to understand that I became one of his simply by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That speaks to God for our newness, our restoration, our very life, our forgiveness. Isn't that awesome? I don't know why I'm just so overwhelmed with how awesome that is. How amazingly cool. It's cool isn't even a good word to use, but it's amazing. If I wanted to share this one point, and I think it's something that we need to hear. If God is listening to his very creation with attentive ear, even the dirt, how much more is he listening to us, his prized creation? How much more is he so eagerly waiting, wanting to just commune with us, to talk with us, to talk to us, to listen to us, to hear us, and for us to hear him? God still speaks. God still speaks, is speaking. He speaks. How does he speak to us? His word? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you this, and I want us to hear this, and I love the Word of God with everything in me. The Word of God is absolutely life. But you know what? The Word of God, all by itself, as just a book with a bunch of words in it, is actually dead until the Holy Spirit enlightens it. I don't know if you realize that or not. In fact, it's been spoken and proven that God's Word can actually be an instrument of death. God's Word can be an instrument of death unless it's empowered by the life-giving force of the Holy Spirit. So God is speaking. He's speaking through His Word, but it's empowered, enlightened by the Holy Spirit. So think about this for a second. Let's just take that every step farther. Wherever the Holy Spirit gets involved in, wherever the Holy Spirit comes upon, wherever the Holy Spirit settles on, in, around, guess who shows up or who is revealed? It's not a, say the Sunday school answer and you'll be right. Jesus, absolutely. Wherever the Holy Spirit shows up, Jesus is revealed. So think about this. The Holy Spirit, whenever the Holy Spirit enlightens the Word of God, guess who's revealed? Jesus is the right answer. Okay, I'm going to just tell you, Jesus is the right answer for everything. So every question I ask you, what's the right answer? Okay, awesome. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon you, fills you, guess who's revealed? Jesus in me. Whenever the Holy Spirit fills an atmosphere, a place, an environment, guess who's revealed? You guys are smart. Paying attention. So here's what I'm going to go with for the last few minutes. And shouldn't our aim, our ambition, our goal, shouldn't it be to hear the voice of God? Right? The boys and I, where's Blake? Did Blake, is he gone? Oh, he's teaching. Bummer. We went out to Kathy's house because she has a place that we could shoot guns and fire off and aim at, you know, clay pigeons and stuff. And it was a good time. But here's the thing is that they had to pay attention to Blake as teaching them because it always impressed me how well he could fire and how well, and it's because there's something in him that, and I don't understand it because I don't shoot well. I'm not a good marksman or shooter, or so it's not something that like I get excited about shooting because it's shooting a gun, that is. If that offends you, just pretend I'm talking about shooting a camera. So, but here's what you have to do to actually shoot the gun, and you have to aim the gun. You have to aim it correctly. If you don't aim it correctly, you're just like shooting at whatever's out there, and that's not a good idea. That's just not good to do because it's got power and force behind it. And plus, I don't know what fun is it to just shoot and not try to hit anything. I don't think it's that much fun. I don't know. Maybe it is just to shoot and have an explosion happen right at your head. But here's the thing is we've got to be intent about what we're aiming at. And you actually have to know how to aim what you're aiming at. It's not loaded, guys. I know you're supposed to always pretend that the gun is loaded. Okay, this isn't a gun. It's a mic stand. But here's the thing that and this is why I think Blake shoots well and I don't, and he was teaching the boys this, is it's a neat thing is, and he needed to, there's actually scientific proof to it does. There's a little ridge under our cheekbone called the, see if I can say it right, zygomatic buttress. And it's against this ledge that we need to set the stock. By doing so, we put our eye right on top of the shotgun's comb. And if the gun fits reasonably well, if it fits right in that little notch that I maybe God designed us to hold a gun. That could I knew I'd get at least one or two. And other people might send me a nasty text, but that's okay. we'll be looking right down the barrel. So that way, listen to this, that way wherever our eyes go is where our aim is and where the gun will shoot. So it only makes sense as I look at this. You know, most guys will say, you got to get it in there, you know, put it in there in your shoulder, and then it's like, well, then you're going like this. It looks all weird, and you look like me trying to shoot. I was going to say something bad, but I didn't. I said me. But how you're supposed, this isn't really working with this, but you've got to, guys that shoot correctly, I won't shoot at anybody, is your face is straight and it's right in your cheekbone almost, to where your aim, your eye is right in line with where the direction of the barrel. So it's important to understand that. I couldn't do the illustration well without an actual gun, and I probably didn't think it was a good idea to bring one. That's okay. Is to understand that where we aim and where we aim is where our eyes is where the fire goes and where the direction of that which we want to accomplish. Let me just say there's another example. Here's another example. The boys are in our home and they're actually doing really well. They're doing excellent in school. They're doing better at school. But here's what I had to work this in them. I had to really just almost like, I didn't beat them. But there's been times I wanted to, but I didn't. I said, Hunter, listen, you're getting a bad grade in math. What are you going to do? Like, I'm going to try harder. It's like, well, okay, that's good. We're going to work at it. And he works with Robin. He works with, you know, as far as doing better in math and works with his teachers. His grade went up from an F to a D. And he got super excited. Woohoo! Yes. I said, but Hunter, but that's, so what are you aiming for? He goes, I don't know, maybe a C. I'm like, but Hunter, what's the best grade you could get? And he says, well, I don't know, maybe a B. And I was like, no, Hunter, really, what is the best available possible grade that you could get? An A. Right? So you aim for an A. Always aim for an A. And trying to drill this into him and instill that within them has been an exciting time for us, because they haven't in the past had that been instilled within them. And then what we're getting at is go for all that God has given you and called you to be. Aim for an A. Amen. Always aim for an A. Doesn't that make sense? Don't we? I mean, who goes? Well, I shouldn't ask that. But when we're looking at this and looking at that, right, Hunter? Did we have that conversation? Yeah, we did, didn't we? I was probably not as nice as I just presented myself to be, but he remembers it well, because guess where? Where are you at now in math? Oh my goodness, you're not helping me out, brother. What's that? Trevor has a 96 in math. Hunter? No? You don't remember? Yes, you do. Yeah. He's getting better. He's getting way better, actually. And it's really awesome. But here's the, just going with this is, understanding this, and let's take this to applying it to our very walk with God, even at this New Year's. Wouldn't, if God's voice has the capability and power to speak into existence that which does not exist, isn't that the highest aim, is to hear His voice? Isn't that the highest aim, to hear His voice? Because in aiming for the highest goal is to hear the voice of God, which has the capability and power, the power and the capability to bring into existence that which does not exist. Isn't there anything in your life? And I know this, we'll all say yes and amen to, that there is something, there are some areas in my life that I feel like they are just impossible to get out of. To where it's almost as though I absolutely need a new start. I need a miraculous intervention from a miraculous God to do something amazing in my life And they need to hear the voice of God to make that happen. If the voice of God has the power and capability to bring into existence which does not exist, He has the power and capability to do that inside of you. And it's by His voice that He does it. It's through His voice that He does this. I know that's really awesome, but I know that may be like foreign to you because you're like, no, I just need Him to pay my bill off. Right? That might be a good thing. But you know what? In the voice of God, He might be doing something even deeper and bigger and better than just paying your bills off. He might be wanting to teach you discipline. And maybe wanting to grow you into trusting Him by faith and trusting Him to be like Him and be a giver. And notice that when you give and when you become a giver, He's able to pour into you more than you could ever even ask or imagine. I have never seen anybody that has truly, authentically given with cheerfulness and kindness and goodness in their heart, given for the right motive, that God hasn't dumped more into their lives that they can even ask or imagine or even handle. They have to keep finding ways to give it away. That's a good problem. I want that problem more and more all the time. I like that problem. Every time I give something away, God seems to want to give me more to give away. Wow, what a bummer is that? Amen? But that's the voice of God doing that inside of me, doing that inside of us. A marriage that seems hopeless, God has the capability of bringing hope into it. You could put anything under the sun, any issue, any problem, any circumstance, any sort of chaos, and God can, by His voice, restore, renew, and even give life to where there was death. If He could put, yeah, if He could speak all of this into existence from nothing, I mean, just think about it. That's awesome. And He hears everything. He hears everything. He hears the dirt. Oh, I don't know why that just still is like a mind-blowing concept to me. In God's voice, you will find all that you need. Aim at God's voice with fervent intensity and urgency to hear His voice. John Piper says this, says, don't aim at the pleasures of fame. Don't aim at the pleasures of sexual gratification. Don't aim at the pleasures of wealth. Don't aim at the pleasures of contentment and comfort and safety. Aim at the all-satisfying joy in God, which will empower you for humility, chastity, and simplicity, and the risk-taking, sacrificial love for other people. Aim at hearing God. And each and every one of us, I'm going to tell you, I love it, and that's why you haven't heard me give you 3, 10, or 16 points on how to hear God, because I think we all hear Him. He speaks differently to each and every one. If I told you how I heard God, you would be compelled to say, well, that's how you have to try to hear God. And it would frustrate you. Because I just hear Him in the shower most of the time. And that's weird for most of you. It's weird for me. But it's how I hear Him. It's when I hear Him most. I hear Him in the Word of God. I hear Him in my children. I hear Him in you. I hear him even in those that don't like me. I hear Him when I'm driving down the road a lot. That's when I hear Him a lot. Those are weird places to hear God. Driving and in the shower. I should be doing other things. It could be. But I hear Him just as loud and clearly amongst friends and family. But you know what I think I hear Him? Why I think I hear Him? because I aim to hear Him. I set my aim to hear the voice of God. I desire with everything in me to hear God's voice. Ever since that moment that He said, "Son," to me, I can't not stop wanting to hear the voice of God. It brings life to my very, very being. To where I can say, as Peter said, where else can I go that I can find life but in Your voice? And this was Jesus, or Peter speaking that to very Jesus in the flesh. We just want to hear Your voice. We want to listen to You. Matthew 6:33, and I'll end and we'll pray. And worship the Lord again. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank You for Your love for us. Thank You that You speak, You are speaking, and the word is, still is speaking. We thank You, Jesus, that Your blood is a better blood, a blood that restores us, that even actually opens up the heavenly realm to a place where now we have access. You have given us access to the throne room of God, to be in God's presence, to hear Him and to be heard by Him. It's Your blood, Jesus, that we say yes to. It's Your blood, Jesus, that we are in agreement with, that brings forgiveness for my sins and even empowers me to forgive others who have sinned against me. And in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask You, Father God, to speak to us. Speak to us so loud and clear that other voices become muffled out. They become distant sounds because Your voice is so powerful and so true and so good. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.